In Roman times, they didn't have census records on slaves any more than they would have had a census on anything else that they owned. Slaves were merely property and nothing else. However, it is estimated that somewhere between 10 and 40% of the population of Rome were slaves. That percentage would generate someplace between 300,000 and possibly over a million slaves in Rome, not counting other areas that Rome had previously conquered. As the owner and master of a slave, you had the legal right to do anything you wanted to with that slave. It would be a rare occasion for an owner to kill a slave because of their value as a commodity. But severe punishment was definitely in order for a runaway slave. It was the responsibility of the whole community to be on the lookout for runaway slaves and return them to their owners. Although there are various theories of how Onesimus met St. Paul, it is likely Onesimus was captured after running away from his owner and met St. Paul in prison and was waiting for arrangements to be made for his transfer back to his owner. After Onesimus' conversion, St. Paul elevated his importance beyond being just a slave. He was now a Christian. St. Paul was communicating with Philemon and pointing out that Philemon should look at Onesimus as a Christian first and then as a slave. This is an important lesson because when we go to the gospel, we see the same lesson being taught by Jesus. It was probably Jesus' example that taught St. Paul, and St. Paul is now passing that principle along. So what is Jesus actually saying in the gospel anyway? Well, the lesson is the same as what St. Paul was teaching. When St. Paul said, not to put slavery ahead of Christianity, Jesus was saying, don't put family or anything else, for that matter, before Christianity. When you find yourself in a position that you have to make a choice of your faith and allegiance to Christ or something else, it has to be Jesus first. This gospel is not trying to make you turn away from your family. It is merely illustrating the importance of elevating your love of God before anyone and anything else. And if anyone thinks that this is something that Jesus put into place, when he was on earth, then all we have to do is reread the first reading of today. King Solomon reigned 900 years before Jesus was born. And when God said he would give Solomon anything that he asked for, what did Solomon do? Now let's stop here for a moment. We are not talking about someone that has a couple of extra bucks that could make our life a little easier. We are talking about God, promising him this. God owns everything. He knows where every flake of gold is in the entire world. And if that's not enough, he can make more. Could you imagine having a close friend that could make all the gold he wants at any time he wants? That is mind-blowing just to think about it. What kind of fishing boat would we have? It probably wouldn't be a 12-foot aluminum rowboat. The car, the house. Just think of what we could do about our banker or our boss. Yeah, now there's the thought, our boss. But no, King Solomon did not go after any of these things. What did he ask for? Wisdom. Wisdom to be more godlike. He wanted to fashion himself after God, not to be God, but to be like God, to be just, and to be fair to his people, to know what to do and when to do it. So what did God give him? God gave him wisdom beyond expectations. And because he didn't go crazy with consumption of extravagant gifts and showed responsibility with the choices that God had given him, God piled on the wealth that was beyond even today's standards of wealthy. What did Jesus say 900 years later? Matthew 25:14 and forward. The parable of the talents, 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. No, your room is not all you get. Revelation 21:18. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, and the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, hence the saying, pearly gates. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. This does not sound like a shabby place to live. And everything is cooked with bacon. Jesus is already prepping a cool place for us. And all we have to do is prove to be worthy of it, like King Solomon did. Some may say, "Well, I don't hear God coming and giving me choices of what I want," like he did with King Solomon. And you might be right. Or are you? You see, King Solomon had to wait for God to initiate that encounter. But we don't have to wait for that type of personal direction from God. God made it even easier for us. He wrote down everything we should do and how to govern our lives and literally put it at our fingertips. All the wisdom you need to look after yourself, money issues, work ethics, how we should support His church, and more. I can't think of a single subject that is not covered in this book, the Bible. I hold here a how-to book that will cover everything you need to know about getting to live in a city like the one I just explained a few minutes ago. But you have to do your part to make it happen. Every time you come to church, the pearly gates of heaven open, that I described a few minutes ago, open a little wider. Every time you pray or read a Bible or do something good for someone else, it opens even wider. And when you have done things like this so many times that you're even starting to look like Jesus, and by the grace of God, you will get in. Because when you look and act like Jesus, you have done your part to get in, and now it's up to God. When you walk through the pearly gates of heaven and live in the house that even surpasses King Solomon's, it will all be worth it.
Dear brothers and sisters, let us invoke the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for these children about to receive the grace of baptism, and for their parents, godparents, and all the baptized.
For our church, in its mission to further the reign of God in the world.